Let's turn, please, in the Word of God to Judges chapter 3, Judges and chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. Let us read God's word. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Now, we've been looking at this portion of God's word and this series on the judges of Israel. And as we saw in the past, that the key point that is raised again and again is that why were the judges there? Why were the judges raised? And what was the spirit of the age? We read that there was no king. In those days, there were no kings in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That means they followed their own hearts. They followed their own intentions. What seemed right to them, not to God. And that is a key thing. And also, the people had forgotten the Lord. We saw that too. And this is the Lord who had redeemed Israel out of Egypt. The Lord who had saved them and had given them his covenants. And he had given them the signs and the great wonders and the great commands in regards to how they are to be redeemed, and he had given them the sign of the blood of the covenant, and so many things, pictures that they were to remember, but they did not. There was a time that they left it all, and we see from verse 1 that the Lord, because of that, because of the compromise, the Lord also left various nations amongst them to prove Israel, to test them, to try them. And And also, it's a picture of the church, isn't it? It's the picture of you and I, the picture of Christians. We have situations in our lives and we think, why is that? And could it be because the Lord is proving us, because the Lord is testing us to see if we will continue to trust Him in the darkest times of our lives or not? And so it is very practical for us. And another reason why this was the case was that they had not destroyed the nations that the Lord had commanded them that they must destroy. And they showed mercy to them, even though the Lord had said not to. And so there are many things that we saw last times, that why they were there and the compromises that they had made. And the point was that they couldn't save themselves. Israel could not keep themselves in the right path. Israel would not be able to deliver themselves. They need a Savior. And that's the theme throughout the Bible. A Savior is needed. And so the judges are pictures, pointers to actually the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that we must see. And Othniel, his name means the Lion of God. And the Lord raised him. And that's the account that we see here in these words that we have read. We saw that Israel had compromised. That's in verses 5 to 7. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. And we saw the devastating influence of the world around us. We dwell amongst. They were in the center of these nations. And they were affected by them. They were settling down amongst them. And some of the things that they did is it's quite interesting. Even though they were called to be holy, they are to be separate people, they were not. And some of the things that we saw was that they intermarried with the Canaanites. They gave themselves or their daughters to wife, and they took up the daughters of the Canaanites as well. That was a great compromise. And so many things could be introduced into the nation and their trust in the Lord. And you think about Solomon, and he had these pagan wives and the influences of those wives. So they that is why they forgot God. They forgot the Lord through these influences that they had. And then, of course, the compromise with idolatry as well. It says that they served their gods in verse 6. And what a thing it is. The Lord is very jealous of His name. The Lord is very jealous of His worship. And He doesn't deal with that lightly. We are living in a day and age that the worship of God is taken to be something that whatever fits you, if it suits you, or if that kind of a style of worship is the thing that fits your style, your temperament, your upbringing, there is no thought about, well, what does the Scripture say about how we are to worship God? And we are living in such days as well. And some of us, we've come from churches that its worship has been more like the world. It sounds like the world. The beats of the drum and the guitars and such things. And you ask yourself, where did these things come from? And so I put to you, the worship of God is a serious thing. The Lord always underlines it. If you read through the Bible, you see the worship of God is underlined again and again. And another compromise was them forgetting God. They forgot God. They ceased to care. God was not in their thoughts. That's what happened. So that was their compromise. And then we saw the chastisement that fell upon them. And the following verses describes this. Therefore, verse 8, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So you see, the anger of the Lord, it doesn't say it was hot against the nations around them. It was hot against Israel. That was the point. It's a solemn thing. And He was furious against them. And again, judgment begins with the household of God and the people of God. Because He loves them. He's jealous over them. They ought to know better. And so this is what we see, that God comes with chastising. One of the things that he does is sending this king. And so this king rules over them, this pagan king, Cushan-Rishathaim. And I said that his name is quite interesting. It means a doubly wicked Cushan, or doubly wicked and black. That's what the Hebrew name of this man means. That is what Israel was reaping. This wicked king, doubly wicked king, a black king. They wanted paganism, well, now they have it. They wanted their sins, now they are coming under all these pagan, sinful, doubly wicked kings of other nations. And the same dangers, we said, faces us day by day. And we must be so watchful over our hearts, not over other people's hearts. We've got enough issues within ourselves that we need to watch over. So we saw these things, and also we saw the timing of these things, that they were under this king for about 8 years, the scripture says. He left them there for that length of time. The Lord was teaching them. Time is something that God uses with every one of us. Didn't people pray at that time? Probably there were some people who prayed, but God would not answer their prayers. God would not do anything until the 8 years was up. And through that time, God was humbling them. God was teaching them lessons they wouldn't learn in any other ways. And so that can be a comfort for us. That can be a comfort. You might have been praying about a matter, or you might be in a great difficulty at this time, great pressures and all kinds of things that you are in, and you ask yourself, well, how long is it going to last? Well, they were there for 8 years. Maybe you have been in that situation, whatever it is, for a few months or for a year or 2 years. Imagine 8 years of it. And then we went on and began to look at verses 9 to 11, which then the Lord reveals that there is a deliverer, there is a Savior found. It says there in verse 9, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, you see the importance of prayer. They cried unto the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And so we pointed to the fact that the Lord raises up this deliverer in verse 9, which literally means a savior. That's what it means. And it is an interesting term that the Lord uses, the same term that he uses for himself. And we also began to think about Othniel's background. We are told that he's Caleb's younger brother. We are told that he's the son of Kenaz. And here is a man who we read of in Judges chapter 1. He was a courageous man. He was a brave man. We read of him. He was the man who defeated a Canaanite city to win Caleb's daughter as his wife. That's what he did. So even though his name is mentioned here, in chapter 1, we read that he captured the city because he wanted the hand of Caleb's daughter. So from that, we learn that Othniel was a man of great courage. He is a man of great courage. And he is linked with great leaders of the past. He has strong ties to a former generation of leaders in Israel. Friends, as God's people, we have a great heritage. We have a great heritage. Here was a man who could look to Caleb. He could look to his lineage as well. Be encouraged about his walk with God. And friends, what a thing it is for us to look back. Look back in the history of the church. Look back in our own lives and see how the Lord has delivered us and what the Lord has done for us. And to look to the greater than Calebs of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Othniel was an older man. Some believe that he was at this point at around the age of 75. He was a battle-tested man. And yet we saw last time that he was available for God, even at that age. Available for God. And God chose him. God used him. And what a challenge it is, whatever age we are at, what a challenge it is to be available, to be used of God. To the final breath that we take. Are you available for God? Am I available for God? What things he could have said? I have family, I have children, I have grandchildren. I have these things. Don't you think they had the same issues, same ailments as we have? So Othniel here, he reminds us to be of the fact that God can use anybody, regardless of how old we might be, regardless of our past as well, regardless of who we are and what we have for us or against us. God can use anyone for his own glory if we are available for him. And we can easily talk about these things, that the very act of availability, being willing to be available for God and for him to use us in anything, not just leadership, but in any capacity, that's the hardest thing. As Othniel did that, which the Lord wanted him to do. And the Lord used him in a mighty way. And I think I gave you the quote last time that it has been said that the greatest ability is availability. And in this day of rush and noise and busyness, especially for younger men and women, we must be made available for God. But then we must also see Othniel's spiritual helper. Let's read again those words in Judges 3. It says there in verse 9, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel. And then verse 10, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. Here we are told that Othniel was not by himself. He was used of God, but it was the Lord who was with him. And that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. It wasn't Othniel. It was the Lord who delivered Israel. Othniel didn't possess the power to deliver Israel within himself. But when God was working through him, when God was with him, when God was in control of his life, God used him to do mighty things. And so it wasn't really Othniel. It was the Lord himself who delivered Israel. And that is what the believer needs. Left to ourselves, friends, we can try to do all kinds of things to serve the Lord or to do something in our lives. But if it is without the Spirit's help, it is in vain. And so this is why we need places of prayer. We need daily walk with God. The only way that we can ever be truly useful and for our usefulness to last, we must be under the workings of God. Anything of the flesh will not last. If the Lord is working with us, then and in us, we'll be then usable by him. It is the Spirit of the Lord that enables us to stand against the enemies of God, as He did with Othniel. The Spirit of God will make us to have powers that is out of this world, supernatural powers, in the sense that not that we would do miracles and mighty deeds, but the fact that God will work through us in the transforming lives. It's the works and the Lord's works through us when we speak to someone about the Lord and the change that is brought about in that person's life. It is a miracle. It is a miracle to turn a person's life upside down, their world upside down. It is an amazing thing to demonstrate Christ's love to a sinner and to cover a multitude of sins. The scripture says that charity covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't happen naturally. We can't show that kind of a love naturally. When we are called to do anything for the Lord, those things cannot be done naturally. When we are called to love our enemies, that you cannot do that naturally speaking. It must be of the Lord. And so we must yield ourselves to Him. As those who were called by the Lord in Acts chapter 1 to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power of the Spirit. But then something else. We see Othniel's victory here. In verse 10, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. God enabled Othniel, this lion of the Lord, to defeat that old, doubly wicked and black king. God allowed Othniel to deliver Israel from the bondage of that pagan king. God empowered Othniel then to judge the nation of Israel, for the rest of his life, some 40 years. Imagine that. For him to last that long, for him to have the ability, the faculty of the mind, and the various things that you need in judging and ruling and leading a people. God gave victory to Othniel in his life. A person who is used of God, used by the Lord, is in such a way must have given himself wholly to the Lord, as a holy yielding of ourselves to God in every way. It's not just a hymn that he sang. It was a life that he lived. And what a challenge it is to each one of us. So that is something else. There was victory there. Not just that he won the war, but that he was able to judge Israel for such a length of time. That's even the greater battle. It's a greater thing. Day after day, under his natural circumstances, in his old age. Are there things that we need this evening in our own lives to be able to last, to continue, to be consistent, to not give up, not to be discouraged? Do you think he did not see discouragements? Don't you think he faced various other battles through 40 years? How can you judge a nation and not face all sorts of problems? Maybe that was even harder for him than having victory over that king, Cushan-Rishathaim. Maybe that was even much more wicked, much more evil in the sense of what people were doing. But then something else we should see is Othniel's spiritual intelligence and spiritual understanding of things. Othniel was a man who did a great work successfully and in the right way. It doesn't say that he, through those 40 years, he compromised, he made wrong decisions. But it says he judged Israel. There is no cloud over his judgment. There is no kind of blot over his judgment and his leadership. He is a man who did a great work successfully and in a right way. And think, if that is the case, think what character he must have had and the strong principles that he must have had held to be able to lead and to be able to judge the nation in that appalling state. Remember, people were at that time doing that which is right in their own eyes, and to bring a nation to a place that they're trusting God is a great thing. And you must have the wisdom of God in that. So that's something else that you notice about his character. He judged Israel for 40 years. Not only did the Holy Spirit of God come upon Othniel, but we are told that he also, it was him who judged Israel. That means he put things right at home first. He had a right understanding of God's mind on matters to be able to give judgment and to lead them. And if we are to do the same thing, friends, we need to have a right understanding of God's mind as well, which is all found in the Word of God. Friends, don't despise books. Don't despise reading. Don't despise a study. When it is done prayerfully, depending upon the Lord, it will achieve great things in strengthening your faith and in getting you to understand the Word of God better, to draw from the Spirit's working in other people's lives in the past. It's a blessing. If it is done spiritually, with the right motives, not just to gather information, but to grow in the Lord, grow in our love for the Lord, grow in our service and zeal for the Lord. And all of our studies must become practical. Othniel could not say, well, I have great understanding of theology, but I can't really do anything practical. I can't use it practically in a person's life. How could he have led a nation for 40 years and kept to that his own walk with God? It's not mere academics that we are talking about when we are talking about studying and learning. When things are not for the right reasons, then it's not practical, however good that thing may be. And so we are here encouraged to have spiritual intelligence and wisdom, and so to be a blessing to God's people and to do the right things that will last a long time. Here was 40 years. And so it is a comfort, friends, and it is a challenge that we have the same Lord and we have the same Savior God. We are given of His Spirit, and we have now a complete revelation. Othniel's understanding of the Lord was limited to what the Lord had revealed then, but we have so much more. Things have become clearer now about the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the working of the Spirit in His church. Friends, do you want the Lord to use your life for His own glory? Do you want to see Him do great things through you? I'm not talking about the great things that the world is looking for. To be able to be working in the background consistently when it is a thankless service. To be able to continue on when others do that which is right in their own eyes. To be able to lead people, to be able to bless people, to be able to have wisdom over situations. Do we want to be free from the yoke of paganism? Do we want to see our families and people around us delivered from the bondage of sin and the world that is all around us and it is around them as well? Do we want to see victory in our lives? If we do, then we are to yield ourselves like Othniel to the Lord. To let the Lord deal with us and control us. And then He will use us for His glory. He doesn't deal with someone and then not use them. So we must not be our own man. We are not to be our own woman. But we are to be God's man, God's woman. And so it is that we read here, and His hand prevailed. His hand prevailed. And then, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. There is an end to every one of us. What legacy do we leave behind? What peoples have we influenced for good? What things have we achieved that can be left for others to use for God's glory? Here was 40 years well spent. Here was a nation who had been led for 40 years in the right direction. I wonder if you are concerned about where we are spiritually with the Lord today. Where we and our families and the church and the country, where we are heading. Where are we heading? Where are others around us heading? Are we prepared to stand and say, no, I must stand. I must be an Othniel. In this situation where everyone is running away, I must be a lion for God. Does it really concern you to the point that you are willing to commit to a life of prayer and also fasting and to seek to serve Him and to wait for God to turn the tide? Othniel was also amongst those who were waiting and who were praying and who were crying out to God during that 8 years. He was one of those too. He suffered with them too. But the Lord came upon him. We must pray then. This is why prayer is so important. Here is a call to prayer even. How long have we been under all kinds of bondages and all kinds of things that we see as being wicked around us? The Canaanites are all around us. God has also left something of Canaan in us. One commentator said this, so that we might feel our need of the deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, daily. Oh, to learn from Othniel, or to learn of our God's dealings with him, and then with us, and to be encouraged. Here was a man who finished his course. One day we finish our course. And remember, at that point in time, he'd led them thus far. Israel was in a good position, but it was a critical point. What would they do next? What would they do next? Would they follow on in serving the Lord, in trusting in the Lord, or not? The verse 12 tells us, sadly, this is the state of man's heart. Let us all then be sober about these matters, and to remember each one of us will die, and every leader will pass from this life. But let us hold on to the promises of the Word of God in the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Othniel has not died, will not die. He'll continue on. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, the scripture says, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have him. He will not leave us nor forsake us. These judges, they all had their limitations. They all pointed to some degree to Jesus Christ, but then the symbolism, it cannot be taken to its nth degree because it fragments. But the wonderful picture is then translated to the true person, the Lord Jesus, who will not fade away. Well, may the Lord enable us and bless us each one to take something home and to be seekers of the Lord in this regard. Amen.